Do babies know right from wrong? At the age of 6, I returned home from a playdate with a stolen Barbie Frisbee hidden in my pocket. That night, I tossed and turned. To ameliorate my guilt, I wadded up the stolen toy in a piece of drawing paper and threw it away. But it still haunted me, even from the wastebasket. It took a sprint of contrition down the hall to my parents' bedroom, where I confessed to stealing to find relief. As an adult, my stomach still tightens a bit when I recall this memory, but not because my air was so terrible. No, stealing small items in early childhood is actually quite natural and expected. Rather, it is the memory of feeling deep guilt and shame without understanding these feelings that still is unsettling. For years over, philosophers, theologians, and researchers have failed to agree on why and when children begin to feel true guilt and shame. Experts aim to determine what gives rise to morality in humans, when moral reasoning appears, and specifically, whether or not babies understand right from wrong. Current versus previous conceptions of moral development. Modern experts mostly agree that babies possess a form of morality, which has been demonstrated in clinical settings in infants who are just a few weeks old. But inherent morality is a contemporary idea, which is antithetical to theories of centuries past. For example, in the 17th century, John Locke believed that the mind of a child was like a tabula rasa, or a blank slate, ready to be filled with information. More recently, in the 20th century, the fathers of modern psychology, like Sigmund Freud and Lawrence Kohlberg, also assumed that morality is the result of nurture, not nature. Kohlberg went so far as to say that individuals uniquely reach or skip moral milestones at different ages according to their experiences, so that an adult who has never been taught moral lessons could possess the same moral reasoning ability as a small child who is trained in morality. All in all, theories of moral development may vary greatly and have evolved through the centuries to grant more credence to the power of nature and allow for a more generous interpretation of the very young to reason morally. Two modern-day researchers studying the development of morality, Dr. Paul Bloom and Dr. Karen Wynn, happened to be married and worked together as professors of developmental psychology at Yale University. Their research at the Yale Infant Cognition Lab has shown that infants, even as young as 3 months old, prefer to direct their gaze and reach for the good guy in scenarios using three-dimensional puppet-like objects, where a good guy helps another character, a bad guy hinders, and a neutral character is present. Bloom and Wynn have also found that 6- and 12-month-old infants prefer neutral characters to the bad characters, but not necessarily good characters over neutral characters. These findings have led the researchers to conclude that babies are born with some form of an innate sense of morality. Origin of innate moral sense. Though seemingly simplistic, the presence of an infant distaste for bad guys is actually quite complex. The fact that babies prefer good and neutral characters demonstrates that infants are able to recognize certain traits and behaviors that are bad, and then reject people based upon these observations. While this reasoning appears to be moral thought, it is difficult to conclusively label it as such when you cannot explain its derivation. Recall that past experts rejected the idea of innate morality because they assumed that morality is solely a product of nurture, but being able to theorize as to the inherent nature of morality makes Bloom and Wynn's theory all the more viable. Bloom cautions readers in his book, Just Babies, The Origins of Good and Evil, that just because a baby seems to be able to make moral judgments about others, this does not mean that the baby is ready to make moral judgments about herself. Bloom goes on to argue that infants possess an innate moral sense by reason of the evolutionary theory of natural selection. In summary, a moral sense is observed in babies because it is an evolutionary byproduct of their survivalist instinct. But complete morality requires the guiding hand of nurture. Bloom defends a naturalistic and neuroscientific derivation of morality. He sees the evolutionary development of morality in the way that humans exhibit disgust, especially in our blind favoritism towards our own group and the dehumanizing of outsiders. Therefore, regardless of how an individual defines their personal moral code, whether through religious or secular philosophies, disgust and group preference are the roots of their beliefs. For instance, think of a morally reprehensible action that you find disgusting, like rape, genocide, killing of babies, or stealing from the destitute. Now, think about how you responded physiologically when you consider this action. Really think it through. You'll notice your body responding with disgust, as if you've eaten something horrible. Now consider if your brother or sister committed this action. What if you engaged in this activity? Your mother? Now think about someone from a faraway country or perhaps a different religious group that committed this act. Would you want to punish everyone, including yourself and your mother, in the same way? If Bloom's theory is correct, then you will have doled out harsher punishments to those outside your group and will have been more lenient to those with whom you identify with, love, or depend upon. Do babies know right from wrong? If the possibility of an innate moral sense is observable through infant distaste for bad people, and the origins for this distaste stem from the human sense of disgust and preference for one's group, then do babies actually know right from wrong? The current consensus is yes. Babies possess an immature, innate moral sense derived from their survivalist nature, but no, they cannot consistently apply their moral philosophies to themselves and others. Dr. Allison Gopnik concurs in part and proposes that much of being able to properly apply moral reasoning is caught up in our concept of ourselves, family, society, and ultimately our own consciousness. Therefore, the infant moral sense is rudimentary until life experience can develop it wholly. According to Gopnik, the infant's immature neurology leaves them with an extra-aware consciousness that lacks inhibitory control over their sensory perceptions, meaning they can't shut out irrelevant input. The day in the life of a baby is compared to an adult wandering the streets of a new city like Paris while under the influence of 3 triple espressos. Talk about sensory overload. Babies are taking in more than they can possibly process and lack the concrete experiences to make sense of the data. Therefore, they cannot reason well at a high moral level and act upon reason consistently. Fine-tuning our consciousness, however, can enhance and mature our ability to reason morally. The foundation of a moral sense may be hardwired, but there is still much work and construction required after birth to complete and perfect the project. Every time we reason and act, we learn. Therefore, as we grow and develop, our moral sense matures as well. Play is essential to the development of morality. Gopnik is adamant that play is essential to development of morality. It is through play that children practice and come to understand life. In past generations, children were perceived as being disconnected from reality when they engage in imaginative play. But Gopnik believes this idea is false. She asserts that children are aware that imaginative play is separate from reality, and children utilize this imaginative world to practice and understand the real world. Picture a child playing with dolls. One doll takes the other's apple. The child in her safe and imaginary world can now grapple with the real, more options at hand. Shall the doll hit, find a new piece of fruit, or shun the offending doll in response? In imaginative play, a child can grapple with the bigger moral questions in life and come to resolve and accept certain truths about the natural world. Is it possible that more imaginative play can lead to higher moral thought? Perhaps. And if so, then with play comes the daily potential for goodness, justice, and love to grow. Thank you for reading, and please refer to this online version of this article for more information on the authors discussed and links to an online 60 minutes video of the Yale Infant Cognition Lab.